Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, if you have your Bible tonight, let's get right into the teaching of the Word of God. I'm excited about tonight's lesson. So I want to encourage you, as Daniel said, to remove all distractions. Those of you in the watch parties, those of you in the small groups, those of you who've gathered as teams, as families, I just want you to get your Bible, your notepad, and take some notes, follow along, and God is going to speak into your life tonight through His holy written word. Tonight, I want to talk to you about, on the subject, one question that can change everything. It's right here on the screen. The one question that can change everything. You know, questions are really important. Really, the questions that we ask determine the quality of life that we live. That's huge. That's big. The questions that we ask will determine the quality of life that we live. You know, I have a board member on our board here at Church on the Rock, our advisory board, and these guys are wonderful guys. They're great friends and partners of our ministry. They sign off on the minutes every year, our bylaws, the salary package for me and Pastor Kim, they determine that. We don't. We call them our advisory board, our advisory committee. And one of those gentlemen on the board has been with me for 35 years. This year, he just retired because of some his schedule and some health issues. He needed to kind of, through COVID, kind of step back and step down. But he's been with me for 35 years. 35 years ago, I've known him since I was 17, by the way, lifelong. I'm 67, and so I met him when I was 17, so I've known him for 50 years. He's been one of my advisors for 35 years. And he taught me years ago, he taught me the importance of asking questions. He said, become a master asker. Become a master asker. And he taught me, he said, Dave, he said, you want to have, now this is way back, he said, Dave, you want to have a notepad by your bed, by your bedstand, where you have what we call a landline. Does anybody remember landline phones? And he said, you always have a notepad with questions already written out, so that when, you know, a mentor or somebody that that you are being coached by, being trained by, someone that you're trying to get information from, already have your questions ready and write them down. He taught me that way back then, over 3 decades ago. He taught me the importance of asking questions. I think that if we ask better questions, we'll have a better life. I hope I'm communicating to you tonight. I remember Peter Daniels, you know, the billionaire from Australia. And I remember Peter Daniels told me, he said, the questions that people ask reveal their character, their maturity. It reveals what's important to them. It reveals what season of life that they're in. Questions. So I want to talk to you tonight about just one question. One question that can change everything. One question that can change everything. And that one question, I'm going to give it to you right up front, what that question is, because I'm going to give it to you, and then I'm going to talk to you about it, and then I'm going to remind you at the end what we talked about. But here's the question, the one question. What can I do with what I have right now? That's the one question. Really, Pastor? Yeah. What can I do with what I have right now? I remember the same gentleman who is great friend still, will be a lifelong, forever friend, that just stepped down from our team for 35 years. He told me one time I met him. He came here to speak at our church when we were church was 3 or 4 years old, and we were a certain attendance, about 500-600 members, and we were in a building program. And I remember we were sitting at the Holiday Inn after the service on a Sunday morning, and all I was doing was complaining. Now, I know you've never complained, but all I was doing was complaining to him about where we were as a ministry. Because I wanted to be, I'm a driver, I'm a visionary, I'm a dreamer. I'm a little eccentric, okay? And so I want to be way farther than what we were 3 or 4 years into the ministry of Church on the Rock. Now we're 38 years, to God be the glory, all the glory. I'll never forget, I sat there and I complained to him, wrong person to complain to, and I murmured and I complained, and he listened to me. And then when I got it all out, he looked at me and he said, Dave, if you're not happy where you're at, you're not going to be happy where you're going. If you don't learn to where you're at, bloom, be planted, make what you can make out of what you have now. He said, you got to make lemonade out of your lemons. He said, you got to make milkshake out of your milk. He said, stop looking on the other side of the fence for the grass greener and start watering the grass on this side of the fence. Changed my life. I repented, asked God to forgive me, asked him to forgive me. And I realized what was he saying is this, is I need to focus on now and what do I have in my house, my hand now, and what can I do with what I have right now, not when I get that, or if I had that, or if I only there, if I only knew them, but what can I do with what I have right now? Now, in every story, there's a hero and there's a villain, right? Well, the villain tonight is a victim mentality. We've all been concerned, and we should, about the virus in this pandemic that we're in, COVID. And we've all been concerned about, we don't want to catch that virus. But I think there's even more a deadly virus than that virus. And it's the virus of a victim mentality. It's the virus of a victim mentality. A mentality where I complain like I was doing, and I blame, and I make excuses, and I criticize, and I'm frustrated, and I'm angry, and I'm agitated, and it's everybody else's fault. And why did this happen to me? Why is this happening to me? And by the way, that virus tried to attack me. Not COVID, but that virus tried to attack me, a victim mentality. Really, Pastor? Oh, yeah. As your pastor and your shepherd and your mentor and your spiritual father, a year ago, going into this, we were in March, a year ago, you know, this all started. We were in Disneyland, a family vacation when it happened. And we had to shut the church down as we know it on campus, but we kept the church going all year online only because of you and your support. But you know, during those early months when I was giving you all those devotions every day, I was in my own quiet time, I had to fight that virus of a victim mentality. I had to say, God, what is going on? Why is this happening to me? Why is it happening to us at Church on the Rock? Why is that? I had to fight that off. So tonight, the villain, the thing that I want to kill, the thing that I want to erase, the thing that I want to do away with and bury in your life, in my life, is a victim mentality. And the hero is exchange it for a victor mentality. Go from a victim, why me, to a victor, what can I do with what I have right now tonight? Another board member, see, some of the board members of Church on the Rock, those who I'm accountable to, Dr. Jerry Savelle is one of our board members at Church on the Rock. Another one is Pastor Tommy Barnett. Pastor Tommy Barnett, Dream Sitter, Dream City Church, Phoenix, Arizona. I've known him way back. So for so many years, he's so wonderfully, so gracious to be on our board. Tommy Barnett, it's just a blessing. But he did a sermon years ago, turned it into a book that changed my life. He taught this sermon when I was in Bible college, and he'd come and do chapel. And the sermon title was, "There's a Miracle in Your House." There's a miracle in your house. Can you say that with me? There's a miracle in your house. What was he saying? He was saying in the sermon that became a book that went around the world was that what you need to get your breakthrough is within your reach. You don't got to wait another day, another week, another year to get through COVID, another job, different city, different church, a different family. No, the question is that can change everything is taking responsibility. What can I do with what I have in my house, in my life, within my reach right now, tonight? What can I do with what I have right now? And so I'm going to go to the Word, give you some scriptures, and then I'm going to give you 7 takeaways of application. Are you ready for our journey? Okay. So I'm going to go to the board. Go to the board. Zechariah 4:10. Now, this is huge because the principle is this. God can do much with little. God can do much with little. Pastor, I don't have very much tonight. I can relate. Pastor, you know, I don't have that resource. I don't know that person. I lost my job during COVID, or my health has gone sour, or my relationships, I need to relaunch and reinvest. We talked about that last weekend. Pastor, my emotions. Pastor, my savings. Pastor, I lost this, that, and the other during all this medical bills. I get it. I understand. My heart goes out. I'm praying for you. But I want you to know that whatever little you and I have left is more than enough for God to do much in our life tonight. So let's look at this, what God can do with a little. For who has despised the day of small, see the key word, things. For who has despised the day of small things? What it's saying is, don't gripe and grumble and complain and blame where we're at tonight for what we've lost. Focus on what we have left. There's a miracle in your house. There's something you can sow. There's something you can say. There's something you can do that can turn everything around in your life tonight. So don't despise, don't belittle, don't laugh it off. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. I'm thinking of Church on the Rock. You and I, this community, thousands of members in our church, honestly, thousands. And we started 3 decades ago with 35 people. Our campus, we have, to God be the glory, 250,000 square foot, 250,000 square foot of buildings. We started in a library in St. Peter's, a rented little room. Oh, my goodness. When we started, I didn't know what I would make. There was no salary. There was no insurance. There was no, I was going to get so much a week. We didn't know. 1 week it could be $100. Next week it could be $300. We had no idea. And yet today, with all of our campus, to God be the glory, it's insured. This is how I know what it's worth. It's insured for $50 million. So I know God can take little and make much. Me. I never would have thought God would have ever chosen me to pastor a wonderful church community like you. He picks the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The one question that can change everything tonight is, what can I do with what I have right now? So he goes on to say, for they shall rejoice, and they shall rejoice, and they'll run to and fro throughout the whole earth. John chapter 6 and verse 9. There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And they're asking the question, but what are they among so many? Wrong question, right? But they're asking the question, it's not enough. They're saying, how can this help? How can this change anything? What can we do with this? You know what? When you take the little you have out of your hands, and you put the little that you have tonight in God's hands, it becomes more than enough to feed the multitude, more than enough to meet your family's needs, more than enough to meet our ministry here at Church on the Rocks needs when we take it out of our hand and we put it into God's hand. Notice we see, don't despise small beginnings. Notice, don't belittle the little you may have tonight. May not look like a lot, but when it's in God's hands, it becomes more than enough. Two small fishes. And then another illustration from the Word of God is David fighting Goliath. David and Goliath, remember the shepherd boy? He's 17 years old. He's coming against this giant of a giant, obstacle in the way. And David, what did he do? He picked up five smooth stones out of the river. Five smooth stones. Somebody said, why did he get five? Because Goliath had four brothers. Goliath had four brothers. So he knew if he knocked one down, he may have to knock the whole family down. So he came prepared. David put his hand in his little bag. And what did he do? He pulled out a little stone. With one little stone committed unto God, it was more than enough to slay the giant. Oh my goodness. And he slung it, he threw it and smoked the Philistine in his forehead. And you know what the giant said? Goliath said, nothing like this has ever entered my mind before. Into his forehead, that's a joke. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Here are just a few examples of something small, something little, when we put into the hands of God, can make a huge difference. He will bless, Psalm 115, 13. He will bless those who reverently and worshipfully fear the Lord, both small and great. What did he say? He'll bless both small and the great. So there's enough scriptures right there to establish the principle of the one question that we should be asking tonight is, God, you know, what do I have in my house? What do I have? What do I have and what can I do right now to make a difference? Now, I want to take you to a story of a little widow lady in the Bible. It's 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to go through verses 1 through 7. The guys are going to help me automatically as I refer to each verse. But 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7, it's the story of Elisha and the widow. Now, she's going through transition. I believe, this is very relevant, many of you listening and watching tonight or through replay, you're going through a transition. When we're going through transition, we're very susceptible to doubt and fear. When we're facing uncertainty, we have to really deal with that doubt and that fear and questions that come to all of us. This little lady, her husband was a God-fearing man, and her husband dies. Maybe something died in your life in the last year of COVID. Maybe you're transitioning now through COVID, out of COVID. They're telling us we're in the relaunching phase. We're moving into the rebuilding phase. And maybe you're going through a transition of a new job, a new career, starting a business, a new relationships, a different church, a different ministry. But we can relate and identify with this little widow lady. She lost a loved one. She's going through transition, and she's asking why. She's asking why has this happened to her, because her family has been a family of God. Her husband was a prophet. He was a teacher in the school, and he unexpectedly died and left her all alone and left her nothing, as far as resources. So she lost a loved one. She's going through transition, and she's in pain. Here's what I know. We're really susceptible to God or the devil when we're going through transition, when we're going through uncertainty, and when we're dealing with pain and tragedy. Here's what I know for all these years of ministry, 38. When I see people that I pastor go through transition or go through pain, I see them either go for God or walk away from God. They either get closer to God or they doubt God and stop going to church, stop being in the community of faith at Church on the Rock, and they go the opposite way. I just want to encourage you tonight that you know who I am, and I'm talking to you. You have a whole lot of pain tonight. Some of you have lost a loved one. You've lost your health, a job, a family, self-confidence, your health. You've lost resources. I just want to encourage you and point you to God tonight. Because if you ask this one question, God, what can I do with what I have tonight? And then you act on what he says, and you'll have a miracle in your house take place. It'll change everything. It'll change everything in Jesus' name. So here we go. You ready to go? Expository teaching, verse by verse, 1-7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet. Her husband was a prophet, taught at the local seminary, and she's crying out. She's in pain. There cried a certain woman, the wives of the sons of the prophet, unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Now, I just want you to know that our past, a lot of us, some things have died in my life, in your life, and all of our life this last year. And guess what? That's not coming back. Somebody's got to stand up and tell us it's not fun. It doesn't feel good. I don't like it, but it's not going to be like it used to be. There's the new that's here. We need to embrace the new and believe God for restoration of anything that was stolen from us and move forward. Thy servant is dead, and thou knowest that the servant did fear God. Elijah, my husband, was a man of God. He was a seminary teacher, instructor, and he left me nothing. I'm broke. I have no money. I have no resources. I'm bankrupt. I'm without my partner. I'm without my husband. I'm without the leader of the house. He's dead. He's gone. The creditors are coming to take our house, our flat, our condo, our townhouse, our apartment, where we're not apartment. I guess you rent that, right? But they're coming to take everything away. And the creditors come to take my two sons. That was what they would do back then. If you couldn't pay your bills, they would take your children. Next verse, guys, verse 2. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? He's asking a question. Tell me, what do you have in your house? That's the question that God's asking you and me tonight that need a breakthrough, a miracle, a turnaround, to go from the virus of a victim to what God wants us to be, a victor, more than a conqueror. What do you have in your house? What do you have tonight? Not, well, when I get that, like I told my mentor years ago, well, when we do that, I'll be happy. Well, when we do that, I'll be excited. Well, when we do that, life will be better. And he said, Dave, no, it doesn't work that way. You got to celebrate where you're at. You got to maximize the moment. You got to utilize everything you have in the now. Changed my life forever. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you and I tonight? Let's apply it. Let's appropriate it. What do you have? You have a seed. You have something you can give. You have something you can say. You have something you can sing. You have something you can write. You have somebody you can help. There's something in your house tonight, as little as it might look like, as lack as much she thought was in her house, she had something. She had something. She didn't see it. She needed somebody to help her gain perspective. That's why I'm here tonight to help you gain the right perspective. So Elijah said to her, well, what do you want me to do for you? And then he said, what do you have in the house? Pastor Tommy, there's a miracle in your house. And she said, your handmaiden doesn't have anything. Wrong perspective. Doesn't have anything in the house. Wrong perspective. A victim mentality. I blame and complain. And what does it do? Nothing but frustrate us. And my brother and sister, whom I love, is your pastor, your life coach. Faith can't work where there's frustration. Faith can't work in my life if I'm frustrated tonight. So what do? Give my frustrations to the Lord. Repent for complaining. Repent for blaming. Repent for following the crowd and the culture of having a victim mentality, and turn everything over to God. Trust God. Ask God, God, what can I do with what I have right now? Wednesday, April 2021. And she said, I don't got anything. Watch this now. I love this. I don't have anything save a pot of oil. I don't have anything in the house but a pot of oil. She had the wrong perspective, but she needed a man of God to give her the right perspective. Next verse, please. Verse 3. Then he said, go borrow. He's asking her to take action. Then he said, go borrow. Look at the principles now. vessels abroad of all your neighbors. Go to your neighbors and get some pots, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Here's key. You and I have got to take action. We can't just sit on the couch, eat Doritos, and be miserable, have that victim mentality, and feel sorry for myself. Now, again, thank God that God's protecting us during COVID, and that's a terrible virus, it's damnable, and my heart goes out, and we're praying, and we're doing everything we can as a church to minister to people during this. But a virus more deadly than that is the victim mentality. The victim mentality. And one of the keys to overcome the victim mentality is take action for yourself, take responsibility for yourself, and become accountable. Oh my goodness. He's asking her to participate. He's asking her to do something. I can't get my ship to come in until I send a ship out. In other words, I'm going to receive diddly squat until I send or give something away. So he said, take some action. Notice that principle. Borrow the vessels abroad of all your neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. What's he saying? Don't think meagerly. Don't think beggarly. Don't think little. He said, don't just borrow two or three. Borrow as many as you can. Think big in small places. Think big in small places. Life doesn't change until I change the way I think. Life doesn't change, sure do love y'all, until I change the way I think. So go borrow a whole bunch, not two or three, but a whole bunch of pots. And then I want to extract another principle, empty vessels. God is not going to change my circumstances until I get empty. God, I don't understand, Pastor. Let me elaborate. God is not going to change my circumstances or my life until I humble myself, surrender all of me, empty everything out, my hurt, my hang-up, my habits, my past, my excuses, my whys, my what-ifs. I've got to empty it all out. I got to lay it on the altar. I got to say, God, I repent. God, I am sorry. God, all of you, and none of me. That's a key. That's a key that we get to the point and we say, God, the right question is, God, what can I do with what I have? What can I do with what I have right now? So he's asking her to take action. He's asking her to do something. He's giving her a prescription. He's giving her some direction. He's giving her some steps. He's making her accountable. He's making her responsible. He's changing her perspective. He's asking her to humble, surrender, empty, cast all of her care on him. Be an empty vessel. Verse 4, and when thou come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon your sons. Key, another principle, expository teaching, verse by verse. Another key, notice, she said, and when you come back, shut the door. What is he saying? Don't let your neighbors in. What is he saying? Keep doubt out. What's he saying? Turn off social media. What's he saying? Turn off the news. Golden nugget. Sometimes to increase our faith, all we have to do is decrease the sources of doubt in our life. Decrease the sources of doubt in our life. And sometimes we got to shut the door to family, friends, foes, fences, and farces, lies, limitations. We have to shut the door. If we're going to see a miracle, a breakthrough that we sang about tonight, if we're going to see the walls come down, if we're going to see things changed, if we're going to go from the transition of time, if we're going to get through what we're going through, if life is going to get better, if our quality of life is going to improve, we got to ask the one question that can change everything. God, what can I do with what I have right now, tonight? And when you come back in, shut the door. Everybody say, shut the door. shut the door to doubt, fear, unbelief, pessimism, blaming, complaining, and victim mentality. And thou shalt pour out into all those vessels. Notice she had to do something. She had to take a step of faith. She had to. And thou shalt pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Don't you love the word? Verse 5. So she went from him. What'd she do? Obedience. Obedience. Faith is an act. Obedience. So she went from him. She shut the door. Who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. She followed through. She cooperated. She aligned herself. She didn't make excuses. She got up. She stopped feeling sorry for herself. She stopped asking, why did my husband die? Why did he leave me with nothing? Why didn't he leave me with something? God, why did you let this happen? Verse 6. And it came to pass. Notice I like that. What you and I are going through tonight is going to come to pass. And when it came to pass, look at this. The vessels were full. That she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said to her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stopped. Notice that the supply was limited to her thinking. Because he said, get as many pots as you can. And the whole idea is, as many, as big as you can think, God can fulfill. As big as you can dream, God can do. She limited the supply by her thinking. He said, that's why he said, don't think meagerly. Don't think beggarly. Don't just get a few vessels. Go to as many neighbors as you can and get as many vessels as you can, because if you make room for it, God will fill it. There's not a vessel, and the oil, everybody say oil three times. Oil, oil, oil. The oil stayed. Next verse, verse 7, the last verse. Then she came and she told the man of God. Well, here's our breakthrough. Here's your breakthrough. I can sense it. And he said, go sell the oil. Pay off your debt. Debt cancellation. Pay off your debt and live. The quality of her life changed when she began to ask the right question, when the man of God said, what do you have in your house tonight? What do you have in your house tonight? And go sell the oil, debt cancellation, and you and your children will live on what's left for the rest of your life. Did you see that? For the rest. Oh my goodness. Her whole quality of life, everything changed when she asked the right question. Man of God gave her the perspective. Now, let me just share this with you. We're gonna go on. We're gonna move forward. We're gonna pass up all these scriptures for the sake of time, and I want to give you the 7 takeaways. All right. But before I do, I want to talk to you about this. Number one, it's important if we want a better lifestyle or quality of life, we've got to ask a better question. We've got to stop asking questions that only express feeling sorry for ourselves, self-pity. We got to ask a better question. Number two, I'll make then a better choice. If I ask a better question, I'll make a better choice. And number three, I'll have better action, better choice, better action. And number four, better results. Okay? The takeaways. I want to give them to you. But before I do, I want to give you a secret ingredient. I want to give you the secret to all of this. And that is this. What did she have in her house? Well, she went and got the pots, right? But what did she have? She had a little bit of oil. Do y'all remember when I told you to say oil three times? Let's do it again. Oil, oil, oil. If you have, I know most of you don't, but I have a book in my library. It's called Biblical Typology. It's Types and Shadows. In that book called Biblical Typology, which is Types and Shadows, I had to take a whole course in college on types and shadows. That if you look up the word oil, one of the types and shadows of oil is this. You ready for this? Favor. Favor. What are we teaching on right now at Church on the Rock last weekend for the next 3 weekends? The spirit of favor over our families. What did she have that made the difference in her house? She had the favor of God because she obeyed the man of God's word. And you know what? When you and I have the favor of God on our life, then the little we have, God can make much. When we have the favor of God, the oil, then God can multiply that favor, multiply that oil to meet every need in your life, your family, and change the quality of life. But as long as I complain, I lose the favor of God. As long as I have a victim mentality, that terrible virus, I won't experience the favor of God. As long as I disobey this book and I say it's not relevant, it's not for today, it doesn't matter, I won't have the favor of God on my life. I won't have God's blessing on that little in my house. All of us have something in our house, a miracle. All of us have something like Elijah asked the widow lady as the team comes out. Elijah asked her, what do you have in your house? Now, here's the takeaways real quickly, and I'll just give them to you, and then we're going to have prayer, okay? Number one, I have to take responsibility. I have to take responsibility for my own life. Here's what I've found out. Kim and I, my wife, we've been married 48 years. And here's what I know. I can't change her. Here's what I know. I can't change you. As much as I've wanted to change Pastor Kim, I tried really hard for the first 2 years. We about ended in divorce. And I finally got a bright idea that, hey, I can't change her and I need to stop trying. And when you realize that, I realize I can't change other people. I can only change me. I can only change me. I can't control other people, but I can control, with God's help, God's grace, God's power, me. So I've got to take, like she had to do, I've got to take responsibility. Number two, I have to focus on the right response. I have to focus on the right response. What would have happened if she hadn't got up and went and got more pots? What would have happened? Nothing would have changed. It would have gotten worse. They would have taken away her house and her children. I've got to focus on what's the right response. Not what is the popular response in our culture right now of having a victim, oh poor me. We're going to kill that tonight. But I got to focus on the right response. What can I do? What's the right thing? What's the biblical thing? What's the Christ-like thing to do? Number three, takeaways. I have to remember there's always a choice. There's always a choice. There's always a choice. I have to remember better question, better choices, better action, better results. It all starts with asking a better question. And the one question that can change everything tonight is, what can I do with what I have right now? Number four, don't complain or blame. Don't complain or blame. Complaining opens the door to the destroyer. Complaining opens the door to the devil. Complaining never changes things for the positive. It never changes things for the positive. It always makes things worse. Number five, don't ask why is this happening to me? Now, we've all done it. I started off, I told you, I've done that during COVID, the very beginning when I was doing all those devotionals every day. You know, I just, God, why? My life, my world, my routine, my freedoms. Why? God, why is this happening? And I had to repent because it only creates depression and it causes you to stay stuck and stagnant, feeling sorry for yourself. And faith won't work when I feel sorry for myself. Number six, get rid of that victim mentality. Get rid of that victim mentality. You got to make the decision, I am not going to be a victim. You got to make the decision, I am not going to live by what I see or feel. I'm only going to live by what I know and believe. And my confidence is in God, not man. And God will turn this around for my good. That's the kind of mentality we want, a victor. So when you see that jumping off on you, when you see that trying to, and it does, it tries to get on me, tries to get on all of us. We got to reject it. We got to rebuke it. We got to cast it down and take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And number seven, sure do love you. Renew your mind in the Word, and it will change the way you think. Renew your mind in the Word, and it'll change the way you think. Those are seven takeaways. So get in a Bible reading plan. Read your Bible every day and apply what you're reading. It'll change the way you think. That'll change the way you feel. That'll change the way you act. And that'll change your quality of life. I'm done. Did y'all get something tonight? 35 minutes. I hope I fed you. I hope I gave you something that you can take. It's meat. You can grab a hold of it. It'll make a difference in your life. The one question that can change everything. God, what can I do with what I have right now? I want you to bow your heads right there where you're at. Small group, watch party, a group gathered together, your family, you're with your partner or whatever. But let's pray right now. This is crucial. This is crucial. Here we are. They're saying that the guidelines are going to begin slowly, but to be lifted. So they tell us this, we're going into the rebuilding phase. I like to think the relaunching, the resetting. And so maybe you're watching tonight or a replay throughout the week. You're going to Wednesday night throughout the replay. That's so cool technology. Thank you. And maybe you need to relaunch your relationship with God. Maybe you need to reset it. Maybe you need to get, we used to say, get right, rededicate, recommit. But I like to say a refresh, relaunch right now, because life's really been hard in the last year. And it's not over. But it's so important that we are on track. And if we're not, we get back on track. Or maybe you don't have a relationship with God and you say, Pastor, I'm that empty vessel. I'm ready to let go of my hurts and my whys and my questions and my past and my pain. And I'm ready to empty it all before the Lord. Lead me to God. We're going to pray this prayer. Everyone say it right there with me wherever you're at. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, He died for me, and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I receive You now as my Lord and Savior. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.